So I'm James, as I'm sure everybody already knows that. And I'm going to be talking about my testimony tonight. And I realized this week that talking about yourself and your failures are very difficult. I was sitting there throughout the week and there was really nothing coming to my head. And last night came and I was still kind of struggling. But throughout the week, I was having thoughts about my testimony, but that's not what I wanted to talk about. I didn't want to talk about how I got saved and things I did before I got saved, because there's a lot of regret and a lot of shame with that. But here we are tonight. So I guess throughout my life, I was raised in the truth. I was taught right and wrong. But eventually in everybody's life, there comes a time where we must make a choice. You got to serve God or you can serve the devil in the flesh. And this isn't one of those questions. You know, sometimes you have questions, you have multiple answers. There's a correct answer for this. You need to serve God while you're young. You'll miss out on plenty of regrets, many scars like I did. But unfortunately for me, I did not choose the first one. I did not choose to serve God. I chose to go my own way, and I chose to go serve the devil and serve the flesh and exactly what I wanted to do. I started getting involved with the wrong crowd. And that statement, like, show me your friends and I'll show you your future, that's exactly what happened. Right. I started hanging out with losers, and I became a huge loser myself. I got involved with the wrong crowd. I started being a follower instead of a leader. When you start following the wrong crowd, you start making the same dumb mistakes that they're making. It doesn't start big. It starts small, but slowly over time, I waxed worse and I waxed worse. I started making fun of kids, and I knew how it felt to be made fun of. I used to be the kid that got made fun of, but here I was now making fun of those kids. I felt like I was a cool kid. I was kind of tough. No, I was not tough at all. I started disrespecting my parents, being mean to my sisters. I tried to vape. I tried pornography. I started cussing a lot. Pornography, I think, is a raging storm. It's destroying individuals, and it will ruin anything that is wholesome and beautiful in life. And I think there's a lot of young kids that like to go to it, but there's nothing good in that. That will ruin your life. It'll give you many scars. You can talk to a bunch of people in the congregation, and that's exactly what happened with them. I was raised good, though. I got taught great morals. I got taught respect. I got taught love for others and taught how to treat people. I got taught the scriptures. And I had a loving family, but to fit in with the world, to fit in with the friends I was around, I threw everything I ever had away. I threw the relationship with my whole family away for a season of fun. I traded temporary happiness for permanent regrets. That's a big thing. I have a lot of regrets along this way and a lot of bad decisions I made in life. And I'm going to live with them the rest of my life, time that I wasted. My family loved me and my parents care a lot about me. But I didn't care about them. I threw them by the wayside. I didn't care about their opinions on me. I didn't want them to be happy. I didn't really care about them. I was mean to them. I'd always raise my voice and scream at them when all that they wanted for me was the best. My relationship with my sisters was thrown out. We always fight, argue, and now I realize how quick time is disappearing. My two sisters are married now, and the time that we had in the house that we were all together under the same roof, I'll never get that time back. And the time I was mean to them and hurt them, I'll never get that back. And Proverbs 16:28 says, a froward man soweth strife. And that's what I did. I sowed strife in my house. I was a perverse man, and I was mean. I did a bunch of bad things. I hurt my family. There was a brother in the church I used to be friends with. And there was another guy in the church that I didn't think was so cool at the time. Turns out he's a lot cooler now than I thought he was. But we used to just walk ahead of him, and we just make fun of the dude behind us. We thought we were tough. I thought it would be making me cool that I can make fun of people. But there's a quote, and it says, when you realize that other people put you down because of their own insecurities, unhappiness, and jealousy, you understand that there's no need to be offended because it's not really about you, but it's about them. And I realized over time, I was making fun of others, and I was being mean to others about my own insecurities, about my own unhappiness in myself. I wasn't saved. I had no peace in myself. It's always easier to pick on people that are different, people that are truly different, but you're just not happy in yourself. But the only answer to making yourself truly happy is Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can bring lasting contentment, true joy. But throughout this, my life kept getting darker. I didn't just stop at making fun of others. I continued down a darker road. One night, I decided I was going to sneak out of my house. I was going to go hang out with my buddy. I had this elaborate plan. I would never get caught. That's what everybody says. Oh, it won't be me, man. And I did it multiple times, and I never got caught. Except for the statement was true until it wasn't. I did get caught. Numbers 32:23 says, and be sure your sins will find you out. February 17th, 2019, my sins found me out. The cloak of my sins was removed. I snuck out with this friend. Their mom found out. And before I knew it, I was sitting in the living room waiting on the cops to arrive. Grew up in the church, taught the scriptures from a young age, to then getting asked if I had any weapons on me before I got in the back of a cop car. What a downfall. You had this golden opportunity. You were raised in the truth. And now I'm getting in the back of a cop car, getting brought home on a Sunday morning. What a low spot. That ride home was very surreal that morning. The cop asked me, he was like, "What's your dad going to do?" And I said, "My dad is going to kill me." And truly, I deserve that. But here at 7 a.m., I knocked on my door in the surprise and disappointment when my dad opened the door. The cop explained everything that happened. And my dad and I went into his office. We had this big, long conversation. And by the end of it, he knew I wanted absolutely nothing to do with God. I was stubborn. I didn't want anything right. We went to church that morning, and my parents went and told Brother Steve and Sister Sherry that I wasn't going to be doing anything in youth, and I wasn't going to be singing with youth because I wasn't saved, and I was doing things that were sinful. And that was probably one of the best things that could ever happen to me, was me getting sat down, and I got humbled. I was very prideful, and I got humbled that time. I remember the first time we watched the youth choir sing, and everybody would come up, and they'd ask me afterwards, like, "Why aren't you singing?" And I would just lie to their face. They'd be like, "Oh, I'm sick tonight, or I'm in trouble or something." And I remember we went to Pennsylvania, and I was with Connor Green. And we were sitting there, and Brother Steve was like, "The youth choir is going to sing." And I was like, "Okay." And I walked off. I walked to the bathroom. Then Brother Steve sat there and talked for 10 minutes out there while I was in the bathroom. And I walked back out, realized youth choir didn't even sing yet. So I had to sit in my seat while the choir got up and sang. And it was so humbling. Or like on Wednesday night, I used to sit with Connor. And they'd get up and it was like, "It's on a Monday when somebody touched me." And I would just sit there the whole song. Everybody would stand up but me. And it was just like nobody might not have even noticed, but I noticed. And that was a big thing for me. But during this time, I didn't really care about upsetting God. It wasn't that. It was more my image that I was trying to upkeep. But it was truly the disappointing my family and my dad and my mom that really got to me, letting my dad down. I remember through this time, though, I really started to hate my life. I started to hate who I was. I started to hate who I became. Hated the situation that I was in. I was discouraged. And Luke 15:13 is talking about the prodigal son. "And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living." I wasted everything I had, all my happiness in life. It was gone so quick. A fast season it was. To the point that I thought one night that dying would be more profitable. And I don't really know how many people in my family even know this story, but... So one night I decided I'm going to write a letter. I'm going to take my own life. I took it Wednesday night. I'm going to give it to one of my friends, to give it to my other buddy and tell him what I'm doing. And I remember at church I walked around after service. Service ended and I went to go give it to him. And I opened my notebook up and the note was gone. And I was like, "Oh my, what just happened?" Started freaking out because my name's on this note. I don't want anybody in church knowing this. I just wanted to happen to be over with. And I traced everywhere I went. And I walked around, I could not find it. So the next day, me and my dad went to the gym. Eventually, I just gave up. We went to the gym, and after the gym, my dad drove to the parking lot on Waterworks Road, right there by the waterfall. And he just started crying. And I didn't really know what was happening at the time. And he said, "Someone gave me that note that you wrote." And he told me how much he loved me, and how he was at a low spot in his life one time, back a long time ago. And how he had a gun in his mouth with a hammer pulled back. And he told me, for some reason, he just didn't do it. And he told me how blessed he was and how me and my sisters were his greatest blessing. And if he would have taken his own life, that he wouldn't have had us. And like at the moment, that kind of got me through my situation. But I'm very grateful for the family I have and the love I was raised with. And I'm only who I am today because of the family I have. But the true part about this was I didn't like what I was doing. I hated the position I was in. But I was bound by sin. I was tied up and I was entangled in sin. And I couldn't get free by myself. I used to sneak all these phones and try to talk to all my buddies. And my parents would always catch me. And it'd be disappointment after disappointment after disappointment. And we were going on vacation one day. And I snuck another phone. It was hiding behind my dresser. My mom found it. And my dad was already in Myrtle Beach already. So my mom took the phone. The next day we flew down there. And immediately my dad was like, "I need to talk to you on the balcony." And he told me about how my buddies was just throwing me to the curb. They didn't want anything to do with me. They were choosing other ways. I was the last thing they were worried about, and how I was wasting my time, and they couldn't care less about me. And this was really the turning point, when you realize people that you were giving up so much, fighting for a relationship that wasn't there, they didn't want anything to do with you. That was a turning point. I was searching for happiness in something that was never going to give me true happiness and true contentment. And I was fighting for something that wasn't even there. And I was hurting my parents and family all over again for absolutely no gain. But after this, God started to speak to me after this conversation. Brother Burton, he came and he preached our revival that spring. And I remember almost every service, he was just preaching good stuff. And I remember sitting there just holding the seat during the altar call with just tears rolling down my face. I didn't like the position I was in, but I couldn't let go of it. I was just so bound. I was so tied up in the things that I wanted to do. I was tied up in the flesh. And that's a position you get yourself in. When you start serving the flesh, it may start like, oh, I'll never do that. But I never thought I'd be in the back of a cop car either. I never thought I'd be there that one night and making all these foolish decisions. But my dad, he didn't bring up God to me too much about throughout this time, because I always just get really angry. But I remember one day on the highway there in Granville, getting on 37 on the entrance ramp after this revival, he said, is God talking to you? And I said, yeah, but I don't want to talk about it, Dad. And he's like, okay, I just need to know how I want to pray. And it really showed me, my parents really, really cared about me. And having godly parents, some people aren't raised with godly parents, or they're just here by themselves, and that's good. I appreciate it. You guys are working very hard, but I'm very thankful for my godly parents and how much they helped me. But moving forward to June camp meeting of 2019, it was a great camp meeting, but I had absolutely no intentions of ever getting saved. And I was sitting in the back with my friend the whole camp meeting. I never was sitting down with my family. But Thursday night, for some reason, I just decided to sit down there with my family. And I remember an usher bringing down a note to me and said, you can sing with the youth choir tonight. And I was like, sing with the youth choir? Man, I haven't done that in a long time. Why am I allowed to do that? So I walked to the back, and my dad was there. And I was like, did you write this? And he was like, yeah. He said, God told me to. And he said, I didn't want to write it, but God told me to, so go up there and sing. So I remember going to the back, and I don't remember a single song the youth choir sang that night. But I do remember when I walked back after going out there, Sister Goins was back there singing, His Voice Makes a Difference. And I remember going to my seat like, Lord, man, I'm going to really have to fight the Holy Spirit tonight. I don't really want to do that. Because it's just a battle. You're just fighting with the flesh, and you're fighting with the Spirit. And you don't want to be saved, but you're so bound, and you want to get free. And you're so tied up. And then nothing happened when Sister Goins sang. And I was like, okay. And then Brother Nick came out, and he started singing Sometimes It Takes Him Out. And the altar call started immediately. And I remember it got to the second verse, and I was just done. I was done serving sin. I was done serving the flesh. I was tired of hating who I became and tired of disappointing the ones I loved. And I was just tired of being bound up in sin. I was just tired. I remember hitting the altar that night, and I didn't have many words to say when I got down there. I knew what I had to give up, and I was fully prepared to give it up. And I remember getting up and turning around and seeing this sea of people behind me. And here was a guy that wanted to commit suicide a couple months prior and had all these people behind him pray. People that really cared about you. Here I lived in sin for people that didn't care. And then people that just wanted me to be saved so badly poured out their soul to God for me. I'm so thankful for that. The only reason I'm saved today is because of the prayers of my family and the prayers of the saints at the church. That night I entered into the family of God, and what a family that's been over the years. We rejoice together, we cry together, we mourn together, and I'm greatly blessed for my salvation in the family of God. Throughout the years after that, I could see how God was kind of starting to use my life. But just because you got saved doesn't mean the devil stops fighting you. I remember a brother, after I sang an altar call for the first time, a brother came back to me, a brother I respect greatly, and he sat down beside me, like immediately after, and he said, you better stand strong this week. The devil is not going to be happy with you. He said, I've been there, and the devil fights hard, and he was absolutely right. He said, the devil, he did come after me hard, and eventually I fell. And instead of getting back up like you should do, always get back up. If you fail, get back up, get back on your feet, keep going. I chose to get discouraged in my failure and continue down the wrong road another time. This time was not a long stint, but it was a short stint, but I got deep real quick. I ended up in the wrong spot at the wrong time, and it looked like I had a proof that I committed a horrible crime. I came home Monday after school, and I had two sheriffs in my kitchen questioning me about this crime that they thought I committed. And thank the Lord for mercy that throughout this, I did find my way back to God. But thank God for mercy that they didn't find me like I did this crime. And I'm thankful for that. I learned that throughout this, that failing doesn't mean the end. I have to get back up. I've had my struggles since then, but I got back up. And God has given me victory. That I'm very thankful for that. Throughout the past couple of years, though, I went through some hard times. But God has always been a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Alone at night, you can call on Him. When you're in the car, when you're going through struggles, when you're going through trials, He can give the peace that is priceless. He can give peace that covers all the pain, like the song says. This is my story, and I bring it so that you guys don't have to go through and make the regrets that I made. The bad memories that I have to fight against. The regrets daily that I think about. Your future is created by what you choose to do today. If we think in decades and not moments, ask yourself, how will this decision affect me in 10, 15, 20 years? If my decisions back when I was 14 years old could have affected me, and they still do affect me, I have regrets and I have bad memories with that stuff, and I will have that in 20 years. Your memories today, the things that you make today, we always think in moments, and we don't think in big amount of time. Everything's fun for a moment, but the pleasure of sin is only fun for a season. Right. I think there's so much potential in this room, and I know that people probably feel like you don't have anything to offer God. You have no gifts. You have no abilities. But I was the same way. I was just a brokenhearted kid at my absolute wit's end until I got saved. And I think God just wants a willing vessel today. He wants someone that longs to work for Him, someone that has a desire. And I believe if you're willing, then God will give you a purpose in His kingdom, and He'll show you it. The question is, are we truly willing to be used however God would desire us to be? I love all of you guys, and I care about you. And thank you for all your prayers. Amen.